Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Come with us on a journey that is only limited by our imaginations. Unluckily, me and Luke have very tawdry imaginations. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. This is the Luke and Pete Show. Monday the 9th of April, a recording time of 11:55. How are you doing, Luke Moore? You all right, mate? You all right?
I'm good. And it's the 19th, not the 9th. But also, when you use the word limited, I agree. Limited is exactly the word I would use for my imagination.
Your motivation or your imagination?
No, my imagination.
Oh, right, okay. So what's the craziest dream you generally have? Is it all very sort of boring, kind of, I've got to do the washing up before the catwalker comes round or something? Do you have catwalkers?
No, they walk themselves, those two fellas. They don't do enough walking by the size of them at the moment. I've not fed them any more food, but they, for some reason, they are still refusing to lose their winter plumpness. But,
is that a thing, a winter plumpness?
Yeah,
I know that my one of my dogs had a haircut, and that hair was hiding a multitude of sinful sins because she's a little chunker.
Enjoyable.
You've also just described my beard. So cats will... they'll go almost completely, like, not hibernation, but like they'll go really slow pace, and they will sleep all day and all night in the winter, in my experience. Because it's actually a bit of a myth that they're nocturnal. They're not really. They're active at dawn and dusk.
Right.
And they sleep a lot. So, but in the summer, it's completely normal for me to, or for us to not see them for a couple of days, because they'll be out all the time. So I think they do tend to work off a little bit of that weight, and obviously they molt a lot and lose a lot of that fur, for the summer too. So, but yeah, I can't remember your original question. Was it about me dreaming? Yeah.
What's so my dreams?
My dreams are. Do you ever get that one where your teeth fall out?
Yeah, teeth are falling out, sort of radio DJ anxiety dreams, that kind of standard stuff. Because it goes along with your job, doesn't it, I suppose, a lot of the time. Or the job you once had.
And yeah, the anxiety one is the one where you're worried that you're not going to be back at the desk in time for the song to run out, right?
Yeah, no, but I did that frequently. I don't care about that. I did that all the time.
What is yours then?
It's just like the boss is there and I can't think of anything to say properly in the time frame that it needed to be said. All the systems going down, and it's just all going to shit, really, which it frequently did, to be quite frank, and the boss was frequently in the building. Awful, awful business.
But you would normally probably just put Bohemian Rhapsody on CD on, right? And then that's all right. You're away then.
The emergency tape, yeah, you got eight or 9 minutes for that. So it's been a weird week. I mean, it's Monday and we're doing the show basically hours after a big European Football League change has been announced slash mooted, and a major footballing power team has lost their manager. And also, Prince Philip's funeral was over the weekend, and also all the pubs you could go and get pissed in the pub garden. It's been a busy all week, hasn't it, really? We're fitting quite a lot in. Lockdown's ended. We're getting a lot of stuff done, aren't we?
It's like the curator of the universe, the simulation that we all live within, has decided, okay, we've given them like a year of nothing. What would happen if we gave them like a year's worth of stuff in a day?
Of everything. Yeah, exactly.
How would they react, the little slugs?
It'd probably go, has everyone left the studio for the ramble yet? Can we get them back into it?
I went to the pub. Pete, I went to the pub on Friday.
Oh, hello there. Did you have fun?
I had a lovely time, actually. And shout out to the Northcote Arms in Leighton, which is my best friend Jimmy's local. You know Jimmy, Pete.
That's a long trip home, isn't it, from Leighton?
Well, it's not too far from the office, though, is it?
So true.
Jumped to the cab, to the pub, from the office, and I've been in the office ever since. No, I got the tube and train home, so that was fine. But actually, it was a really well-organised affair. Northcote does amazing pizzas as well, which are very competitively priced. And because it's like a proper local pub, it wasn't overwhelmed with people. It wasn't a big queue. My mate Jimmy, who's a local, he booked us in. Competitively priced pint of Guinness, £4.10, which for London's fantastic.
Lovely.
I had a great time. I had 5 pints of Guinness. That was enough for me. And spent the rest of the weekend feeling like absolute shit.
I had a few, surprise few on, God, what would it have been? Thursday, actually. It was, I wasn't planning on being on the Ramble Patreon video, but I'd already planned to have a few. And then I was told that I was needed for that. And I had to run back because I thought I had enough time, and I did have enough time, but I'd forgot my keys. So half the first 5 minutes of the show was me running through the canal waterways of the UK to get back to my house. Well,
I had a conversation because I had one of my regular catch-ups with Finn, who works with us, our colleague Finn, and I asked him how it went, and he said it was absolutely brilliant, this live stream for Ramble patrons, because Pete legged it home from the pub live on the stream, forgot his keys, ran back to the pub to get a key or something, and there was a fight in the pub.
There was a fight in the pub.
That sounds amazing. We should be releasing that on YouTube. We'll get a lot of hits there.
I think it's still on YouTube somewhere. But
the fight?
Yeah, I think Finn... No, the altercation was happening when I was filming. It was like Smack My Bitch Up.
it sounds a bit like that. But very
parochial version of Smack My Bitch Up. Yeah. He does omit the very important thing that how I got my my spare key out of the garden is that next to my... somewhere around my garden, I'm not going to tell you where, because in case someone knows where I live, there is a key hidden, right?
Yeah.
To one of the doors to my house. And to get it, you need to stab it out of the fence.
How did you get it in there?
It's in the fence. I jammed it in the fence. And the only way you can get in it is by sliding something very, very thin between fence and post.
Nice.
And I've got a knife, basically, for this purpose. Also secreted around the garden, so half of the stream was me stabbing a key out of a fence, like an old graphic adventure game that's gone very wrong. It doesn't make any sense.
The way you've just told this story has made me feel like I'm picturing you in a witness box in a court. Also, I was just going to say that I think I speak on behalf of a lot of our listeners here, where I think of you, Pete, when you're not in the office or you're not working or you're not immediately in my purview, I just think if you sat on the canal drinking a can of lager.
I don't drink a lot unless it's real organised boozing, to be quite frank. Over lockdown, yes, I have flirted with a 24-can crate of Tisky, fine. I may have seen those off, but... I kind of generally stick to Fridays and Saturdays. I don't generally drink during the week.
You're a traditionalist.
I'm a traditionalist, but it's been very pleasant. The weather's been very, very lovely. Don't it get cold though? After about 5 or 6 o'clock, the laws of diminishing returns anyway.
Yeah.
Would dictate that it would become less fun. But yeah, it really does get a lot less fun. Very, very.
I left the pub at 10-ish on Friday because it was just too cold.
Mm.
To be sat in one place outside with no ability to go inside really, apart from to use the toilet, it's just not conducive. It's not conducive. In the summer, it's going to be great, but at the moment, it is not conducive.
Yeah, even with heat lamps and I think that wasn't what the horrible thing about the argument was that in the pub that the bloke, it was all over a chair. He wanted to sit down.
Right.
My point was at the time he was a disabled guy. He had a wheelchair and it wasn't about accessibility. It wasn't like a thing. He just wanted a chair that he hadn't ordered, but they didn't have the space for it because it was already a chair, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
The pub probably was at fault, I think, or he was at fault. Either way, I think all sort of sympathy for the chap kind of very much disappeared when he said to the very openly gay proprietor of the pub, "You think that you'd have a bit more respect for disabled people owing to your condition?"
Did he really say that?
That's a strong bit of work. I wasn't sure what the tenor of the argument was at this first place. I wasn't really sure. It was something about a chair. It was something about his chair. But the problem was they'd been banned before for causing trouble. So it wasn't even about the chair. I was very confused about how it was all going. But he made it about the chair and then came out with that absolute doozy. And I was like, wow, that's got strong.
I think everyone can agree, though, that the last thing they needed was for you to go in there with your car keys in your hand, windmilling everyone.
With a knife, yeah, no, it was unwelcome. Saying I'm late for a Patreon live stream.
Listen, you lot, I'm fucking locked out, so get over it. Help me. That is insane. That's crazy. Yeah. What a thing to go
absolutely
on.
Absolutely wild. I would love to have known what the hell was going on. I just couldn't figure out whose side I should be on until that guy said that, and I was like, oh, I'll be on that.
Don't you end most days like that though, thinking I'd love to have known what was going on today? Pete, can I change the subject ever so drastically? And ask you a question, because I found out a piece of trivia this weekend that blew my mind to pieces, right? There's a study done about the amount of Tyrannosaurus rexes, the amount of T-rexes that actually lived on Earth, right? How many
Five.
Do you think
Five.
Scientists... You know, check it out though, this is amazing. Think of the cultural impact the T-rex has had. I would argue, you know, alongside your humble Velociraptor, the T-Rex has had the biggest cultural impact of any dinosaur. Is that fair?
Mm. Yeah, it's the biggest boy. Are we saying that the pullback and reveal here is there are going to be far fewer than you actually realise because they were concentrated in one area?
I'm just going to ask you a question. How many do you think a scientist's best guess was the amount of T-Rexes that lived on the Earth?
I mean, you can only have a limited amount of space for an animal that big that's going to be consuming that amount. I think 50,000.
Is that your guess, yeah?
That's my educated guess. If I was sort of going to play
what's educated
hand,
about
say,
it? You've just plucked a number out of the air.
All right, yeah, fine. Okay, uneducated guess. But all right, I've thought about it, which is more than most would do.
Okay.
To one of your questions.
The answer is 2.5 billion.
Whoa!
Yeah?
What's...
According to a
I
calculation method
so
used
low.
In a peer-reviewed paper on April 15, 2021 in the journal Science, during 2.4 million years of existence on Earth, a total of 2.5 billion T-Rexes lived.
That is ridiculous.
And listen, that's going to blow people's minds, the people listening, right? And the key here is the fact that dinosaurs roamed the Earth for a very long period of time when compared to their human counterparts, right?
Oh, right. Okay, so it's not like at any one time there would have been 2 billion of them.
They weren't just shoulder to shoulder.
I've just never seen them fucking on it in a film. And we've never seen two T-Rexes going at it, hammer and tong.
How would T-Rex. They? Because their arms are so small.
And their tails are very kind of thick and
dominant.
Muscular. Yeah. How would you? Would one of them have to roll on their back?
That's the thing, see. And this is something that occurred to me as a kid. And I'm going to say it again now because this is the vehicle and this is the platform for this Cobber Chat, right? I understand that if you have like a complete T-Rex fossil, let's stick with the T-Rex, a complete T-Rex fossil at the Natural History Museum. Fine. The penis is not a bone. We know that. So it's not going to appear in the skeleton, right? Talk to me about artist impressions. You never see a penis.
No, you never see...
Why is that?
Why have they not added them in?
Well, look, is that because kids love dinosaurs and it's not appropriate? I mean, it's a penis. It's got to be included.
I heard that Denver the Last Dinosaur, the cartoon, got up to no good in the 80s.
He's our friend and a whole lot more, as the song says.
Exactly. Friends with benefits. That's all I'm saying.
And we understand Jurassic Park was all female dinosaurs. Fine, they've got out of that. But in real life, artist impressions that are used for scientific purposes in schools, for example, I think you should be seeing a penis. Pete, you've spoken very eloquently in the past about elephant breasts, for example.
Elephant breasts, armadillo boobies, yeah.
Yeah, where's the T-Rex equivalent?
Where's the T-Rex titties? Where's the T-Rex testes? I feel short-changed because a
T-Rex set of bollocks would probably be gigantic.
They'd be magnificent. It's like when, was it the last Transformers film? The camera swung round and there were just two gigantic Transformer testicles kind of dangling around.
I haven't seen that, but that cannot be true. Is that true?
I believe that was the case, yeah. Just a little joke for everyone. Really sort of you're going all the way and you're suspending your disbelief that trucks can become killer robots from space that somehow look like 80s trucks in America. and they just decide to put little testicles.
That's so strong. What, were they metallic?
I don't know. I just remember reading about it. Somebody, speaking of dinosaur bits and pieces, there is a guy who makes... I think like 3D, three-dimensional representations of famous kind of cartoon characters' genitals, what they'd look like effectively. And Nintendo, I think last week, did a cease and desist on a bloke whose raison d'etre, reason for getting up in the morning and main financial income was making Bowser cocks, like 3D representations of what Bowser's cock
financial
would look like.
Financial income?
Yeah, he was making it. He was selling off these, like, I think he was selling off these 3D models of Bowser's wanger.
has he got Bowser's a lot on, this guy?
No, I don't know. Well,
can
clearly,
he perhaps
well,
think about using
not.
His skills for good?
Yeah, the fan artist suspects that Nintendo is behind the notice saying that he needs to stop. Akko Arcade is a 3D modeller who makes not safe for work art for Source Filmmaker, which is a kind of like an interactive kind of like animation creation software based on the, I believe, Half-Life engine. And somebody just, it's magnificent what he's done. It is magnificent what he's done. But yeah, this guy, Akko Arcade, has been served a legal cease and desist saying stop making representations of the world's most evil. Is he a dinosaur? Is he a turtle? I don't know what the hell Bowser is.
I know what's happening. You're reading that story and thinking, thereby, but for the grace of God, go I, because that's easier path you could have travelled down, though.
No, it could have been. Look, I have grounding in 3D modelling. I did some of my specialisations in my university degree. There's the article. It's got a kind of studded, like his belt, you know, the belt he's got around his neck and hands. Yeah. That's kind of like a, I suppose you call it a cock ring, and it's kind of restricted the blood flow to his penis, so it's very veiny, and it's got kind of hardened thorns on it. If someone said whose penis is that, I'd say it's Bowser's. So he's done a lovely job.
If someone said to you whose penis is that, you'd say, where did you get that picture?
I've got the only thorns in Thornbury.
That is incredible, Peter. That is disgusting. Absolutely incredible. But by the way, speaking of the animal world, there's an animal I discovered. I didn't discover it. It already was there. I found out about, called a colugo, right? C-O-L-U-G-O. And I think I saw it.
Like a thrall.
Yeah, I saw it was like an Instagram post or something. You say it looks like a throw you'd put over it.
It looks like a dog in a blanket, doesn't it?
So it's arboreal, which basically means it's like the scientific word for saying that it kind of lives in the trees and floats around. And it's a gliding mammal, so it looks a bit like a flying squirrel, but much cuter. But when you actually look at them a little bit more closer, look a little bit like aliens. So the top of them is furry and the bottom of them is like completely pink, a bit much like the Bowser penis you just showed me. And the thing that got me thinking was that I'm 40 years old now, and I have, and I think you back me up on this, Pete, an active interest in the natural world. I would say I'm someone who likes watching programs about it. I like reading about it. I've always been obsessed with it since I was a kid. How am I still discovering animals that I never knew existed before? That is an amazing kind of revelation about how big the animal kingdom actually is.
Yeah, well, I think when you sent that picture, the Look at the Picture WhatsApp group, I think that was the first thing I thought. I thought, like, why... Why is this a new one? Like, why have I never seen this before? Because I'd probably remember that a little animal looks like a throw. I'd remember a little animal that looks like it's got its own integrated kind of dog blanket to it. It's cracking, absolutely cracking.
It looks like it's basically, it looks like a kind of rat that's had, you know, a little, artisan, you know, blanket that's knitted at some kind
installed,
hipster market, stuck on its feet. But I also saw a video straight after that of a hippo swimming, chasing a boat. And goodness me, I had no idea how fast they swim.
Oh, right, okay.
It doesn't look possible. It just simply does not look possible for something that weighs over a ton to be able to go that quick. It was absolutely terrifying.
Does it manage to get its honk on it? Does it manage to get take a chunk out of it?
Those videos on Instagram that you get in the search button, they always tease you and they just stop, don't they? Because they want you to click more. It's a pain in the ass, actually, because I'd like to see a little bit of a conclusion to things like that. But sadly, modern life does not like it, man, so I can't. Let's have a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some emails, Pete. Does that sound all right to you?
Sounds good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All right, we're back with the Luke and Pete Show. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's really simple. Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the way to do it. Luke, have we spoken about Alan's euphoric feeling?
I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's the first email we've got on the list here. Euphoric feelings we talked about, and you know, those things that are just so bloody satisfying. Again, like Luke, I suggest that the feeling after you remove one of your shin pads is one of the greatest feelings you can experience.
So, Pete, I said it was when you... The reason it came about is because I said that it was when the astronauts touched down and haven't been in space, right?
Yeah. And I posited, after a long flight, getting to your hotel room. Nothing better.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Getting a shower or something. Oh, lovely. But having run around for a while, that release of pressure and that sort of, depending on which ones you've got, those ones that kind of like stick to your leg, that release of pressure and reintroduction of air to your sweaty shin is a feeling like no other. I imagine it's kind of akin to like getting a cast taken off. I remember when I got my elbow cast taken off, I was like, oh my God, it feels so fresh.
I've got a couple of things on that. One is that, remember the shin pads you used to wear with the little plastic slats that would go in them?
Oh, yes, please. They were fancy.
Yeah. You used to take them off, give them a sniff. Could never resist giving him a sniff. And did I ever tell you about the time I broke my wrist and had the plaster cast, and the guy, the doctor at the hospital, let me keep it?
Right,
put it at the back of the wardrobe, and it got forgotten about.
And was it just absolutely stinky?
Oh, yeah, after a while, it was like, my mum would come up to the bedroom, I think she was like, what is that smell? We had to investigate it, and it was basically a sweat-laden plaster cast from a boy.
Yeah, I mean, if you are a teenager and your mum comes up and says, what's that smell? There could be a million explanations. Because
could have been worse for me, couldn't it? Could have been worse for me.
Smell the worst. Smell the worst.
Alan's email about the shin pads also talks about PUBG, the game I was talking about before. And
PUBG!
Yeah, it's taken a bit of a turn, PUBG.
Has it now? Me. What's happened?
Well, right. This is, for those who can't remember, this is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, like a battle royale game that I've played.
I met PlayerUnknown. I met him. I met him at the Golden Joysticks, the guy who created it. I think he's called PlayerUnknown. I think it's PlayerUnknown. The main guy who was the creator.
Wow, what was he like?
He's like a mad, very, very level-headed multimillionaire.
I say, he must be wealthy now, right?
Yeah, he told me secrets about a forthcoming map, and I told everyone I knew, like kind of saying that, you know, I was in the know before everyone else, and then no one would believe me.
That's backfire.
No one believe me, and nobody would report on it, despite the fact that I had the goods. I had the goods ready.
What's the what was the secret?
There's going to be a level released in the future that is snowing, and you can see each other's footprints in the snow.
I think that level already exists.
It does now, but it didn't 2 years ago when I met the guy.
Amazing. Is that the best scoop you've got as a journalist?
No, I got I can't say who it was because he works for the company. A person told me about the little rotating circular robot in Star Wars. You know that one?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now.
BB-8.
BB-8. And,
I wonder who that is that told you that. God.
And I told a mate, and you know, in under fear of death, and I told a mate saying, you're not going to believe this. And because he didn't have another source, he wouldn't run it. I was like, mate, you could have been on top. I think, guy's name was.
I think, knowing what I know about you, I think it's an absolute insult that people don't deem you trustworthy enough to run your stories.
And the fact that film and video game journalism has any kind of scruples.
No.
That's to need two independent kind of.
I don't think people trust you after your stance on Gamergate.
Right, okay. Well, I just think women should not be allowed to program or write about or talk about or be in video games.
It's such a ridiculous stance. It's like just absolutely laughable. I know I don't mean to sound like I'm cheapening it by laughing, but it is so laughable. It's unbelievable. Anyway, PUBG. I was talking about PUBG. It's taken a turn. Because right. I didn't know this because I'm a noob, right? I'm an absolute noob. It just gets pwned all the time. Do people still say that, Pete?
I don't think they say noob, do they? Good God. Okay. You sound like you sound like an advert for like breakfast cereal or something.
Well, I'm available.
To get down with the kids.
I'm available. I'm a porridge man, but you can convince me otherwise if you want. Anyway, so I didn't know this, but every so often, PUBG generates a new season.
Yes,
as Gordon Ramsay would say, a season. And basically, what it means is all the rankings for all the players is completely reset.
Right,
so
okay.
Normally, so it would pair you up with like people of a similar ability, so it's actually an enjoyable game. But I think it takes ages for that to shake out. So at the moment, I just wrapped it because I'm so pissed off about like a long day at work or whatever, or taking a few hours out over the weekend to play. I'm just getting killed, and I don't even know how I'm getting killed. It's so brutal that I don't even know where the shot's coming from. So I need to wait for it to shake out. So season 11 has got me shook.
If only it was cross-play, we could have a game, because I'm a PC Master Race guy.
No, it is. It's available cross-play on Xbox, PS4 and Stadio, I think.
Is it, though? It's available. I can play on the PC and you can play on the old
Is it Stadio or Stadium? What's the Google one?
Stadia.
Yeah, no, I think you can. So I see people playing Xbox players all the time when I'm playing.
Do you? Oh,
yeah. You're available, mate. I'm available whenever you fancy it. I'm not playing at the moment because it's too hard. And if you can't get a lesson from that, then you never will.
You're not gonna have your stats boosted by having old Donaldson stats booster noob porner Donaldson over here.
Noob porner, is that your login name?
Yeah, I'm the noob porner.
I don't see how you're gonna help me. How are you gonna help me?
I always close the door after I've opened it. I do that.
Oh, that is a lovely tactic.
That's a lovely tactic.
You know what the pros do?
No one's been through here because someone's closed the door.
You know what the pros do? They take their shoes off and jump through the window.
Is it noticeably louder if you've got no shoes on?
If you're not wearing shoes, it's easier to creep up on people, basically.
Right, okay, I see. Yeah. Oh,
but essentially, there's probably a 90% chance that at some point I am going to die from a PUBG-induced heart attack.
Is this a big game of hide and seek, and I'm in for it? I'm in for it.
Hide and seek with guns. American hide and seek. Let's squeeze one more email in before we go. What about this one here? Oh, this is a good one. It's a life hack relating to how you peel and chop onions, right?
Okay.
What do you think of this one? It's from Alistair, who apparently is from the Netherlands but currently lives in Gosport, my hometown. Well, quite. The only Alistair I know in Gosport is a dog, and a lovely dog he is too. But hello to you, Alistair. Let me know what you think of this one, Peter. He says, been following your onion peeling and chopping hacks, and surprised the following one hasn't come up yet. It's an absolute game changer. Hold a stainless steel teaspoon in your mouth as you cut the onions and say goodbye to those salty tears. It's something about the metal and sulfurous enzymes binding together. It's just science. Thanks, Alistair.
I mean, on one hand, you sort of go, all right, well, I mean, is it the same kind of concept as putting a silver spoon in a bottle of champagne? Though, who has silver spoons
these days?
Because obviously, it cuts down on the microbes and the what do you call it? The viruses. What are the things that it's a good antiseptic, isn't it? Antiseptic.
Silver is
silver. Yeah, so obviously it cuts down on the bacteria. That's the word I was sort of grabbing for. But on the other hand, I do sort of go, are we just getting to the point where if you're worrying about what an onion is going to do to your eyes, you can't handle the onion. just put them away. Never eat an onion again. Go for a red onion. Don't worry about it, mate. I am pre-chopped and frozen. You can't handle it.
I'm filing that alongside the plenty of quote-unquote cures for hiccups. Essentially, they are designed to entertain other people while that person's got hiccups. They don't work. This is the same. You just want to... Alistair, I think he's drunk on power. He just likes the idea of inspiring a load of people around the country to have stainless steel teaspoons in their mouth in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's that Liam Gallagher, Noel Gallagher thing where Noel Gallagher told Liam Gallagher that Liam Gallagher went around Noel Gallagher's house and saw a spoon in a bottle of champagne, and then the next time Noel Gallagher went round Liam Gallagher's house, he saw a silver spoon in a pint of milk.
Noel Gallagher might like finds his milk fizzy.
Noel Gallagher finds that amusing, but it's the same concept, so presumably it would fucking work, no?
What, to stop the milk going off?
Yeah, would it not? No, is it not the same concept? It would be as good, obviously, as a lid.
But so are you suggesting still that the science behind the spoon stopping the champagne going flat is a bacteria-related question?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it is, then I guess it possibly could work. I thought it was just because it kind of had some kind of chemical reaction which kept the CO2 in the champagne. That's what I thought.
It's right up there with classic Luke and Pete Shaw email fodder, so no doubt we'll get an email about it next week. Hello at lukeandpeteshaw.com. Get him in, for crying out loud, because we are two rudderless idiots on a two-man boat in the middle of a lake of ideas.
And I'm worse than Pete in a way, because I have highfalutin ideas about myself. So actually, even though I'm as much of an idiot as Pete, I'm worse because at least he accepts he's an idiot. Is that fair?
Mm. True. Yeah.
That's how you see it, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah.
Jeez. All right, on that bombshell, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode of Luke and Pete Show, in which we will be reading out more of your emails and going through your battery brands to see if a new player has entered the game, and covering all the stuff that's been floating our boat between now and then. That's it from me. Say goodbye, Peter.
Ta-ta.
It's goodbye from me as well.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.